Good evening, one and all. Yes, I know, Wednesday, halfway through another week, over halfway through January, and here in Connecticut where I am, it's still blinking cold. We didn't get the big snowstorm. We got the sort of inch at the end, but then it sort of part melted and then it froze. So it's all icy everywhere, but thank goodness this afternoon, little bit of sunshine. I think we're up to 40, which is 4 degrees. In the other way, in the international money, but 40 in the old money that I'm working over here, and started to go. Actually, managed to move the car, which was something, and get out today. But I am here, and so is my guest. Now, one of the great things, of course, about doing the show, and we're up to over 1,600 shows now, is that you get guests come back or, you know, become friends and stuff like that. Well, my guest isn't quite that. According to my mother, I've known her husband since basically I was born. Yeah, that long. I mean, and you know, we're getting on a bit now. But yes, that's how old it is. But this also, the book she's written, and we'll talk about that and about the company and the award, multi-award winning company and stuff like that. But one of the things we have on this show is, you know, we have these bullying weeks, and we've talked to authors who were bullied and kids who's been bullied. And, you know, my own daughter I can relate to because she was bullied. But the thing about women and bullying is it's not physical a lot of the times, it's mental. But it's not just there. What about in the workplace? Now, I've been working with a place when I was working with a IT company, and it's not three letters, it's two letters of the IT company, so that gives you it. Well, we were outsourced from the company I was working for to work for this company. And so basically, our friends that we worked with for years suddenly became our customers. And the hard thing was we didn't have like a senior management person from the IT company there to back us up. So we were getting harangued all over the place. And in the end, it ended up, we had several people that had breakdowns because of it, because of the stress. Not just the stress, but you can get from the stress to actually bullying, because people use the all sorts of ways at work to bully. Well, my guest today, she's written a book about this. So I better introduce her, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Lisa Seagroat. Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much, Barry. Nice to be chatting to you.
Nice to be chatting to you. Now, this is going to be interesting because I'm doing this recording. Normally, I can't hear the guests. You know, if they say anything, they don't get on the recording. But you laughing has got on the recording. As I say, it's good to chat to you. And as according to my mother, I was born, and Tony's a little bit, you had some Tony a little bit older than me, but not much. But evidently, we used to meet at the clinic all the time when I was growing up and stuff like that. So that's what I've been told anyway. But I've known Tony, coming up 70 years now. So just a few years we've known. But as I said in the intro there, one of the things is, you know, people hear about bullying, immediately people think physical bullying, but there's not. There's a big mental bullying. But then when you get to the workplace, and I know your book, Bandits in the Boardroom, sort of based on your own life and what happened to you, it goes into a total different world, doesn't it?
Yes, without a doubt. And, you know, the psychological effects of that, bullying, mental bullying, they were quite significant to me, and they are for other people that themselves in that position, and they do, and it leaves a scar. It really leaves.
I mean, it not just hurts the person; it must hurt the company's reputation, the atmosphere within the work environment, and stuff like that. So, what happened to you?
Well, I mean, when I very first started working with Tony, we were not together at that point, but when I first started working for him, and prior to that, I'm sad to say that I did experience bullying in the workplace before I worked for Tony, but it actually was women often bullying other women.
Right.
And I'm really sad to say that, being a woman myself.
Right.
But certainly when I started working for Tony, there was this sort of undertone of, two or three women that just seemed to take an instant dislike to me.
Right.
And it kind of started from there, to be honest. And, you know, for example, just to give you an idea of one thing that they did to me, which is in the book, because it sort of leads up to what happened later on. But we moved offices and they put me in a cupboard.
Basically. Seriously?
I'm serious. I'm telling the truth. And when the premises manager came round to do a sort of health and safety and fire inspection, he went crazy because I was in this room, which, yes, it did have a window, but the window opened about, I don't know, 10 centimetres.
Right.
And there was a box, there was a high voltage box in the corner, basically that said danger, 10,000 volts on it, because it was carrying all the electric for the building.
Yeah.
And the clue really was in the door. It said on the door to the room, which was meant pretending to be an office, fire door, keep shut.
Oh, goodness me.
Yeah. And they were responsible for that. That's just one of the things that they did in terms of really isolating me and keeping me, you know, letting me know where I ranked in the scheme of things. And senior in that role.
Right. Well, it's interesting because I've come across, I mean, when you were, when I was in school and stuff like that, yeah, bullying, but boys and stuff like that, but it was mainly physical, you know, it was mainly physical. But I know with my daughter, you know, with, in the end, we had to take her out of school, because of it.
Yes.
And as you say, girls, women, they are the worst. They are, I mean, and it's psychological, a lot of it. I mean, you know, if you're just say, you know, you go to lunch or something like that, you sit down with a group of people, they get up and move away, you know, and the rumours start and this starts and everything. And in a work environment, it's easy. Mm. It's easy for them to do it because there isn't any. I mean, it's improved. I know. It's meant to have improved. You know, like that. The whole thing with the work environments. You know, there's this rule and this rule, and you have to read about this and everything like that. But you could the people who do that and the managers, they can only see the surface. They can't get that. There are so many little small things that a person can do.
Covert bullying you're talking about, really, Barry, where it's very sort of under the radar.
Yeah.
And like, you know, that can be things like I can remember requesting help with things, you know, where I needed to move a project and get answers to stuff, and I wouldn't even get a reply to emails, or it'd be, oh, they hadn't seen it, or they forgot. So those kind of things that then delay your work process, which then makes you look like you're not...
Suddenly somebody says to you, why isn't it done? And they say, I don't know, you know, she's had plenty of time to do it. They don't mention the fact that you've been asking for help.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I've been on the receiving end of all of that.
Right. No, I mean, I do know what you mean. Totally know what you mean. And the thing is, in the end of the day, your word against the other person's, you know, and if there's two of them, as you said, you know, you're immediately at a disadvantage. You end up getting a reputation, you know, this person's, you know, starting to try. And in the end, they're pointing fingers at you saying you're the one.
Is that? Very practiced at that, and you know, ganging up and sort of mobbing,
like,
you know, recruiting people into their sort of gang, you know, and then freezing you out. I mean, that's my own special favourite.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been to a company where, the last company I worked for, we bought over another company. We bought over Best Scripts, which was good for Cigna to do, because Best Scripts actually supply all the tablets, if you like, for all the different medical companies. And over here, that's where all the money is in medical companies. It's not like in England. I mean, you know, even in a little town where I live, which is about the size of Barnet, I guess, we must have something like about 10, 15 different medical buildings, you know, one's for blood, three for x-rays, three for walk-ins and all, because that's all the money is. I mean, there was a thing I was watching the other day about to give birth over here is 250,000. Yeah, I mean, and in England, I think it worked out about 70,000. I tell you, to stay in a hospital overnight is more than the 5-star hotel in Abu Dhabi or something like that. Mm. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It was like $5,000. So that's what, £4,200 just to stay in a room overnight. And then you get the bills through and it says, oh, this person gave you an injection. This person drew blood. This person put the bandage on. This person stirred your tea. You know, and
it comes to, very itemized and very detailed.
Well, but what happened was we, in my area, all of a sudden, all my direct management up to and including the director came from this other company. So even though we'd taken them over, you wouldn't believe it, because suddenly we were doing their processes where they had one thing, like, which is pharmacy, whereas I worked, you know, we had international, we had insurance, we had, you know, about five or six different lines. And it got to that people just didn't want to work because we had nobody to report to. You know, you always thought, I was meant to have a sort of an introduction meeting with the director. Four times he got cancelled. I never actually spoke to him except in a meeting once. Before after. And then all of a sudden, all us experienced people, because they found out we were earning more than them, because we were on the sort of East Coast, which is a higher cost of living, if you like, than where they were in Central. You know, they said, oh, all these directors found out that we were earning more of them because we'd been with the company, and the company was, you know, good. We were a big company and stuff like that. And suddenly, all us experienced people were let go. And they got in cheap contractors. But in that meantime, the stress that we'd been under, it was not bullying intentionally, but it was because we were being forced to do a process that they did not understand. How we worked and what we worked. And that's
and
where...
that would have a negative effect on morale.
Exactly. People were leaving.
Productivity and performance.
Exactly. And that's what you had, I'm sure. You were trying to do your best on the job. You weren't getting any help. The stress was building up, obviously, because you get up, you don't want to go to work. Yeah.
No, and that's absolutely right. I mean, and you know, talking about the women at the beginning of, you know, the journey, if you like, but further on down the line, there was a male colleague who joined, and that was where he was gaslighting me a lot of the time.
Uh-huh.
And then I was getting to the point where I was pulling up into the car park, and you talk about not wanting to go to work.
Right.
I couldn't physically get out of the car.
Exactly, yeah.
It would take me 10 minutes to calm down because the stress in my body manifested itself as like really violent shaking.
Yeah,
And then numbness. So it's just an indescribable way of feeling of fear and panic and worry when you're in an environment like that and you feel so demoralized by the whole thing. It's just awful. So many people put up with it.
I mean, you hear, I mean, I know, you know, you talk to people and stuff like that, and so many people are in a real bad state. As I said, I've had people I've worked with had breakdowns and, you know, and stuff like that. You have so many people that are in a bad state. And yes, they try a bit more these days. They do try, and HR tries and stuff like that, but it's still there. But
now.
Yeah,
there's
if you, exactly. Yeah. But if you go back, to like what you're talking about and stuff like that, there was nobody you could speak to. There was no follow up. There's no accountability, which, suddenly became a buzzword, but a buzzword on the wrong part of accountability. It was accountability on the work, you know, getting the stuff done and everything like that, rather than the people.
The duty of care to the people,
And you couldn't, I mean, just explain, just if people imagine, if you've got a, can you imagine, remember back when you had a really important exam And you know, you were so worried and stressed about this important exam. Well, just imagine, people, if you went, you didn't, you knew that when you took this exam, the people in that room and the people, you know, adjudicating and stuff like that didn't like you. Yeah, you know, they had something in for you. Imagine that and times it by five at least. And that's the sort of environment that Lisa's talking about. I mean, you've all heard, I'm sure a lot of you have heard it. I'm sure a lot of you out there are sitting there shaking your heads and saying, yeah, I know. Well, what did you do in the end?
Well, in the end, Barry, I couldn't go to work anymore. Yep. I mean, what happened was there was an incident that really pushed me over the edge in terms of an email that arrived, basically, from a director, really vile and vicious email when I was already...
Seriously?
...keeping on the edge, yeah. Basically, you know, telling me to actually do something that was not my job, and I had been there many, many years, and never, ever had I been spoken to like that or told that that was my job. But I was already on the edge because, as I just described to you about how I would arrive at work,
yeah,
I found it very difficult to physically get into the building, let alone function.
Right.
And then that email really pushed me right over the edge, and Tony insisted that I went to see the GP, and she signed me off for a month.
Right.
And I'd only, in 13 years, I'd only had 6 days off.
Oh my goodness. Ever. Goodness.
And she told me, if you don't step away from this environment,
yeah,
you are going to have, you know,
a breakdown.
You're going to have a lot more problems, and you're on the edge of a breakdown, basically.
Right.
So I was off sick for a number of months, really had a complete mental health breakdown as a consequence of then what happened whilst I was away from work, because the bullying continued from a distance. And in the end, I'm afraid I walked out.
Right.
I couldn't go back, and I couldn't work for months after that.
Well, of course not. I mean,
it took so long to recover.
You realise, yeah, like from the last Olympics and stuff like that, people, all of a sudden, people started realising what can be done by this sort of thing.
Correct.
And how it lasts.
And I did raise a grievance because, I had to raise 3 grievances before they actually got...
Really?
Correct.
And you had that email and everything? I mean, you must have had all the sort of proof stuff.
I had that. I mean, because HR is my background anyway, that I was in charge of that.
Right.
So, along with other things. But when this male colleague started to, you know, play up, and I started to doubt myself. I started writing everything down.
Right,
and
good.
So, you know, if anyone's listening and they feel like I did, write everything down.
That's what I was going to say. That's the one of the most important things. Yeah, every email. Yeah.
Absolutely. So when I did submit the grievance, which says that they ignored the first and the second one, it was only when an independent external person came in to investigate what the hell was going on, because the place was in uproar by that point.
Right.
Wheels were falling off as you can maybe imagine.
Right, yeah.
And they had to then investigate, and every single point in my grievances was upheld by that external investigation. But they wouldn't apologise and they wouldn't backtrack.
I've got two cases with small claims courts about companies like that over here at the moment.
Mm.
But of course, it takes forever to work over here.
It does.
So once you recovered, you started about your own business.
Yes,
in
fact, this month is actually, we've registered the company 5 years ago this month. And we launched it actually during Mental Health Awareness Week in May 2017, because if I hadn't have had that mental health breakdown, I probably never would have set up my own company around mental health and wellbeing.
Oh, forced you to do it, didn't it, really, basically, yeah.
It did, and I do, at the time when I was going through it, you can't work out why it's happened to you, because I had some very, very dark days, and it took 2 years before, nearly before the court hearing, which they then settled 2 or 3 days before, as they do.
So we live
with that agony for all that time, which paralyses you pretty much mentally because you can't move on. But, you know, when I did dust myself off and got myself back on my feet, I thought I have to do something positive with all this negative experience. And that is why I set up HR Fit for Purpose, to help businesses and individuals to create healthy culture and work effectively and well together, and to look after people because they're your most important asset.
Of course they are. I mean, this is the thing. They are. And people, they're especially, I don't know about over with you, but over here, nearly everything's not got enough staff. There's all the restaurants are at least chatting one day a week. Cars, drivers, you know, I know you got all the trucks. I was over when we had the petrol issue, for instance. I was over there then. You know, it's people, suddenly people are realizing that their staff is their most important asset. You know, all of a sudden, if you get a good waitress, she's headhunted by every blinking restaurant in the town. And we got enough of them, I'm telling you. You know, if you treat your staff good, they will stay.
Absolutely, and your business will benefit from it.
Of course it will.
Not just profit in terms of bottom line, but reputation, everything. You know, and you know as well as I do that bad news travels much faster than
So, I mean, not just in the company, you know, everywhere, you know, in the business it does,
Exactly. And regretfully, you know, an organisation that I'd worked for many years and been very passionate about, pretty much, you know, spun its axis and kind of semi-collapsed.
Right.
As a consequence of not only myself, but Tony left. And 40-odd members of staff.
40? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, include, like, we had volunteers. And I mean, it was just a patron, she left. I mean, it was just like, it was messed up.
So wow. I mean, that just shows. And, of course, the press pick it up and, you know.
Of course, that's correct. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a tragedy when so many people have worked so hard and so passionately to contribute to something, and then just 2 or 3 people can ruin it in the space of almost like a blink of an eye.
Oh yeah.
But it happens in so many places, and you know, I'm
everywhere. Not just work, but not just, you know, business, you know, commercial, all sorts of medical, everything. I mean, it's like I've just been refinancing, not this house, but the house where my kids stay and stuff like that, right? So I was working on getting a fresh mortgage because I was on a pretty high mortgage rate. And I had one person, and that office closed, and then it went back to the head office, and that person that, I'm not sure if they had a breakdown, they disappeared for 3 months. And then it went to this one. And I was sending the same documents in two cases, 6 times I sent the same documents in, and they lost them, and they lost this, and lost them. Anyway, eventually, you know, I started doing write-ups, you know, online about it, and, you know, I sort of, you know, threatened, well, you know, I had details to take them to court and everything like that. And eventually they sorted it, right? You know, I ended up speaking to the senior directors, and suddenly it was trying to get it sorted, got sorted. Well, now they're phoning me saying, we're sorry about this. We'd really apologise. This isn't part of the business. Can you take your bad report off of the sites? You know, these sites. I said, I'll think about it, but I doubt it. You know, of course I won't. You know, you could apologise so you're blue in the face, but I spent 6 months paying this high rate of tax, a high rate of interest, which should have been 3 months if you'd done your job correctly.
Well, correct, absolutely. Yeah. And that's the sort of thing that damages a company.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
And bad news travels fast.
Yeah.
It goes so quickly around. So, you know, when any company that's worked really hard to build itself up, and then, you know, something toxic happens, like what we experienced, it takes years to get back on your feet.
It does.
And all those experienced people have gone.
Right, indeed. And that's a big thing. They get in cheap contractors, or they go offshore, and they see, you know, pounds, dollars on a spreadsheet. They don't see the customer satisfaction, the fact that you go to a meeting and you spend quarter of the meeting asking a person to repeat what they said because you can't understand what they said, or no, people on the phone, you can't understand them and stuff like that, or they answer A, B, C, D, but if you ask a question E, they have no idea. Yeah, it has that. But you said about something good has come out in the way of your HR fit for purpose, because you've been a finalist in the Best Business Women Awards 2019 and the winner in 2020 of the National Enterprise Nation Top HR Advisor Award. I mean, it takes enough to say it. it's good to get money. And as you say, it's 5 years coming out, and this year coming up, and you're planning to do your own award scheme, aren't you, for that?
I really hope to. Now that I've finished the book and put that to bed, I really, really hope to launch an award scheme really focused on the health and social care sector, because they've taken such a battering over there.
Right, indeed, COVID. Oh, always, everywhere, everywhere. Yeah.
And it's, you know, they're always kind of looked upon a bit like the poor relation. Everyone talks to them, you know, I love the health service, don't get me wrong, but everyone, it focuses always on that. We forget there's another sector that's just as imperative, and that's the health and social care side of things.
Yes, of course, of course.
So I'm really hoping to put together like an employer of a choice award, but linked to the bandits in a way, but not call it a bandit award, because that wouldn't be appropriate.
No, no, a sheriff award.
Something, you know, but where we engage with the staff in these companies and ask them, why do you stay? Why are they good employers? What have they done for you during COVID? How have they looked after you?
Indeed, COVID? Indeed, yeah.
You know, tell us why you'd fly the flag for this company.
Indeed.
And, because, you know, that's what we're about. Is it a healthy workplace culture? If it is, we want to hear what that is.
Right.
So that is my intention.
I can see that being great. I mean, you know, you've done the bad. Now, people need to, trumpets need to be blown for some companies. Funny enough, I was listening to Ralph McTell, who's a singer I've followed for decades and decades. Mm-hmm. And he did a song called Masks and Gowns, because of the fact when it all started, the fact that the NHS didn't, you know, they were in plastic bags and wearing marigolds and all this. And he did a bit, you know, and thank God for the NHS and stuff like that. And you listen to it and the words and stuff. And as you say, it's not just that, it's the people who do senior homes, the people who look after mentally ill people and stuff like that. I mean, my niece, one of my nieces, you know, she teaches at a special need school. She has not stopped teaching. She did not, you know, and a lot of the people, especially in England, they haven't got the facilities to do this remote stuff all the time. They need somebody there to look after them, being a mental or what have you. And those people, as you say, don't get the praise they should do.
Yes, and they made lots of sacrifices. I mean, especially in some of those, in the like residential care homes, some of the staff moved in to look after.
See
their families for weeks. And I mean, you know, that's commendable on another level, quite honestly. But I'd like to do something that really recognises good employers in that sector.
Right, indeed.
And also because it also, you know, if you can do it, and others are struggling a bit, maybe they've got a bit of churn going on with the staff retention. Let's have a look and see what other people are doing to keep their staff happy.
Exactly.
Sometimes you only need to make little tweaks, turn that culture around a bit more.
Exactly.
It's not actually that hard to do or expensive.
No. It's just a case of literally listening to people, one-on-ones, 360 role reversals and reporting.
And things like that. And when people do leave, ask them why they're leaving.
Yeah, nobody, I mean, this really annoyed me, that when myself and five or six of the others were let go, we did not have an exit review with HR. Yeah, which I thought was a compulsory with HR in most companies. Mm. And a company else, we did not, because we had things, you know, well, all of us had things to say about it, but nobody, it was like they were trying to sweep under, trying to sweep us out the door quick. But I must stay because we're starting to run out of time, but Bandits in the Boardroom by Lisa Seagrove, is that, have you found that companies are starting to sort of, or HR companies are actually keep, you know, having that on their HR bookshelf or you know, taking it to read and taking it into their company?
I'm inspired mainly by LinkedIn. I've made some brilliant connections and had some fabulous reviews already from industries, directors who've read it, reviewed it, people that work in transformational HR cultures. Yep. They've read it, reviewed it, and, you know, just today, I'm not stalking Amazon all the time to see what my sales are like.
Right.
That's just not me. But I've had 3 5-star reviews on Amazon.
Great.
That blew me away when I
That's terrific. That's that terrific. Out. Well,
I'm really thrilled. So,
well, Lisa, I'm sure it's a book that a lot and lot more people and a lot of companies, if they haven't already read it, I'm sure a lot of people will be putting that on their shelves or into their HR department just to compare themselves and see what they can pick up. As you say, you know, a little tweak here and there. But what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find more about you and about your book. So over to you.
Thank you, Barry. Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. It's just Lisa Seagrove. If you look me up on there, the surname is spelled Seagroatt because everybody misspells it. So Lisa Seagrove on LinkedIn or on Twitter. And we have a website, www.hrfitforpurpose.co.uk. And you can contact us through the website with any inquiries or questions. We'd be happy to help.
Well, that's great. Well, how about that, everybody? Great stuff. The book Bandits in the Boardroom by Lisa Seagrote. I knew how to spell it. Seagrott. And as she said, it's a terrific book. Lots of reviews already. The website is hrfitforpurpose.co.uk. So you can find it there, find lots of information about it there. And it's something that I think, you know, I remember in a lot of some companies, they had sort of books available for people to read and you know, tapes and stuff. This book is a must for you companies out there. Compare how you work. Compare how your staff are. Find those tweaks. Make it a better workplace and you'll benefit for you. Anyway, that's it for now. I will be back on Sunday with my music program between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern. I will be here with Those of the Days, music from the 20th century. And the theme this week is rabbits and foxes. Think of that. I've got a few wolves at the end, but that's the music theme for this week. And then, of course, after that, between 6 and 7pm Eastern, we have the Swinging 60s. An hour of music from the 60s, from not just the British Invasion, but from around the world. And I'll be back next Tuesday, again, with a fresh guest. So until then, I will see you. Bye-bye.